Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. Glad to have you along tonight. There is an awful lot going on, as you've been listening tonight, especially to our brief summary of what some of the most flagrant world events and egregious crimes against humanity are all about in hour two with Charlie. We're going to talk this hour with Blake Sawyer. Blake has a very interesting life behind and in front of him as well. He has been a very outspoken proponent of freedom of speech, of freedom of expression. He gets it. He understands what the world is all about. He has also a product, which you have heard him advertise on this program many times. In fact, once an hour. It's called Royal Velvet. And it is something very unique, very special. And we'll talk a little bit about that during this hour as well. But Blake Sawyer is a man who has done things in his life that few ever do. He has made a fortune, sold a fortune, and is a very successful businessman through hard work, through common sense, and through ingenuity and marketing and creativity. And these are qualities that so many Americans don't even know about anymore, let alone have forgotten. They never heard about them. So it's crazy out there. Blake, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. And I want to say, I've told you this personally, but I want to tell you on the air. I listen to commercials, and I have for God knows, I don't know, almost 30 years now. And there's something special about Blake Sawyer's ability to speak and transmit real excitement, real intensity, and real energy. And when you listen to these Royal Velvet ads, I never get tired of them. And I usually get tired of I can't stand to listen to myself. But I just never cease to be amazed by the energy in these commercials. They're for real. And it's fun to hear. So, yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. I mean, I think we're like-minded individuals. We've had transformation in our lives. I think the biggest transformation when you either believe something that is not right or you feel kind of duped by something, you get on a, you can call it anything, a bandwagon or a crusade.
Sure.
And for us, we become truth seekers, and we are passionate individuals about the truth. And there's something about the world today that is purposely deceiving the masses of people, that we have such a passion to reach out and touch those that, let's admit, have ears to hear. I mean, there's people that reach out to you all the time, and they're asking for help, but they won't listen, okay? But your audience is an intelligent, very intelligent audience.
Oh, this is the best audience in talk radio. I don't mind saying it.
Yeah,
your
website, your radio show, on my radio show, I have a personal radio show, and I plug rinse.com. I tell people if you want to know anything about Fukushima, I mean, there's just only one place to go. That's the only place you need to go. And
thank you.
And but I think what it is as you see it, we're passionate about the truth, and that there's just so much deception. And the deception isn't just 2 + 2 = 4. It's life and death stuff now.
Yeah.
And people are dying, and people are committing suicide, and people are. I mean, you know, the United States with the obesity epidemic and the diabetes epidemic and
the GMO epidemic and the chemtrail epidemic and on and on and on. And now we got radiation epidemic.
The fast food epidemic. The people have been dumbed down through fluoridated water and genetically modified and chemicals in the food that really isn't food and all these things. And the masses of people are now reaping what they've sown. They have been sucked into the deception and the obesity and all the diseases, and we're getting ready for, I don't know if it's going to be Ebola or H7N9 or West Niles or MERS
or something on the shelf that hadn't even been released yet, but you got it.
They've got it ready to go.
Yep.
And it seems like, from my inside information and the things that I'm looking at, yes, the United States is going to probably suffer from some pandemic. Now, if you'll let me, Jeff, on the other side of the coin, because we're not in that, what I call the worst of all the mind control things, the left-right paradigm, we're just interested in the truth. It wouldn't surprise me if the government does permit, allow, or even false flag video showing people dying in the United States of Ebola. It's a horrible way to die. Let's just admit it. It's very difficult to get, actually, but because Americans are ticking time bombs because of what they've done to their bodies.
What
immune
system?
They're sick, they're toxic, they're all these things. They eat all this garbage and crap and stuff. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they use this to do the quarantine, the martial law, the whole bit. People start panicking over Ebola, which does have a 90% kill rate. The government would use this to continue to suppress the people and enslave the people, and we become this martial law, police state sort of a situation that looks like we're coming into anyway.
Look at the template. It's already out there. Liberia. What did Liberia do last night, folks? I reported it this morning. They have established a perimeter, a complete quarantine around West Point, which is their slum area in the city of Monrovia, the biggest city of over 1 million people in Liberia, the most populous country in Western Africa. They have literally fenced these people into a part of the city. This is martial law. And they're being pushed in there, and if they die, they die. That's it. Now, the same kind of thing could happen here. It is possible. Quarantine, containment, means about the same thing to me.
Yes, well, the documents are there. I mean, even
It's all on paper. You're right.
Has the executive orders. Yeah. He's done it. Just even recently, they've added some things because it looks like they're gearing up for it.
Yeah, I think so. Something's coming. They're going to break this country, and it would be so easy to do by sowing fear. I think they've been trying to introduce Ebola here. It is not a volatile vectored virus, but it is more transmissible than I think anybody is saying, frankly. I do believe it's airborne. I do believe a sneeze. The average sneeze expels over 50,000 aerosolized particulates out of the mouth. A lot of them have blood and blood products in them, which carry viruses and bacteria into the air at over 100 miles an hour out to a distance of 6 to 10 feet. One sneeze. Now, a cough is not that bad. People don't understand how they inoculate themselves with disease. They touch their eyes, they rub their mouth, they put their finger in their mouth. They don't get it. We try all the time on this program to tell people, as you do too, how not to infect yourself. But it's difficult. People just walk through the days now like they're zombies, a lot of them.
Right, absolutely. Well, it only takes one person, and then it goes, because the way that we are, I teach this to my patients, my clients, and my listenership and readership, is that Americans have become a ticking time bomb. And, you know, Jeff, you and I are old enough to remember a time when there wasn't anything called H7N9 or Ebola or West Nile or MERS or AIDS.
You got it.
None of those things existed. I mean, we didn't have hantavirus when I was a kid. We didn't have any of these things. I mean, Legionnaire's disease. All these are new.
We didn't have Alzheimer's epidemic either. Remember?
Yeah. But we ate from our backyard gardens those days, and we didn't have the super grocery stores like we have today. We had the local market, and things were completely different. Food was different. Food was food. Today, it's just plastic. It's genetically modified, irradiated, chemically grown. I mean, herbicides, pesticides, you're eating them all. And it's changed the internal environment of the human body, and so now we're all ticking time bombs. And you know, you hear people, they get a little scratch, and all of a sudden they have a staph infection, and they get the necrotizing, and it eats their whole arm off, and it's down to the bone.
Yeah.
And this is epidemic. And so we are the ticking time bombs in the United States. And so that's one of 100 things that the average American is facing. And as you and I try so hard to do, we tell people what the issues are, the problems. But I'm a very solutions-oriented person. I try to bring out solutions to the life and death issues that people have, and that's my passion. That's what I've been doing the last 40 years, and that's why I developed Royal Velvet. It's like the red pill for the people that want motivation. They want to come out and be snapped out of the mind control and help them be able to get 2 + 2 = 4 in every area of life so they can make good decisions and not let the government or whoever is trying to do the mind control to lead them down the path of death and destruction or slavery.
If you go to Blake Sawyer in Guess, click on there and go to his website and It's royalvelvetnow.com. You'll see the wonderful video by Steve Wilner of one of Blake's earlier visits on the program, and it has the Wilner touch. It's just loaded with beautiful images and graphics and so forth. Enjoy that, but read the page, listen, and understand what we're dealing with here. This is a very unique kind of a situation, this product. It comes from New Zealand, from the red deer. The deer are not killed. I can make that clear. New Zealand has a complete embargo on bringing anything that comes from cervids or deer from anywhere else in the world into New Zealand, especially the United States. Their deer are completely clean and completely free. And Royal Velvet is made from, well, tell our listeners where Royal Velvet comes from.
Well, Royal Velvet is an extract of the tips and special parts of the antler where there are nutrients that can do some amazing, miraculous things inside your body that you can't get from any other source. I mean, when I say any other source, I mean fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, meats, dairy, things in the sea, bark, roots, whatever. It just doesn't exist. And these are things that make it miraculous. It reverses the aging process. It completely changes the brain. It repairs damage in the body. People don't think that it's possible if you're 60 years old that in a year you could look and feel 20, 30 years younger. But if you go to my website there, we never have more than 100 testimonies at a time. We have thousands and thousands of testimonies. The people in the proof's in the pudding. And the interesting thing, it works for everybody. It is the most life-changing product in the world. And it's very unique. You absorb it all, or 97-98% of it. It has about 2,000 different nutrients, and it does amazing things. Of course, this is the United States we're in right now, and the government does not allow any company to promote a product that can prevent, treat, or cure any disease. So 95% of the things that Royal Velvet can do, we have to leave to your imagination, I guess.
Well, what we can say is that it gives a supercharge to your immune system, and when you have a healthy maximum functional immune system, you're going to stay in a very good state. And if you are in a poor state,
it really changes the brain, and it does a lot of other things. I mean, the immune system is one of the 11 systems within the body, but it does repair all 11 systems and get it functioning the most optimal way. So whatever people are experiencing, no matter what it is, if they take Royal Velvet, they'll see some very dramatic results. It is the most life-changing product in the world. You could probably spend thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a month buying every supplement, every anything you could possibly try to get your hands on, and a month's supply of Royal Velvet will do much, much more. I'm not saying that because it's my product. I think it's the truth. My reputation is I have to tell people the truth, but I am solutions-oriented, and so I developed this to help people to be able to live the high quality of life that they could obtain to.
Well, it works, and the testimonials are remarkable. We've had some folks on the program in the past with you as well. Okay, now, when you go out, and we all go into Walmart once in a while, like it or not.
I don't, I'm sorry.
Well,
in there. I'll say I'll go into Target or whatever, something else. Go ahead.
I'll go in there. No, I'll go in there with someone else. I don't go in by myself, but I'll occasionally accompany someone in, and I look around, and Target, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Wherever you go, out and about, and you go into a place where people aggregate to do some kind of business or commerce, you see the old expression, the ugly American. My God, I've never seen anything uglier than many of these people. They look, they not only are obese, but you look in their faces and look in their eyes, and you don't see health, you don't see vitality, you don't see happiness. You see people who are just finished. They're just walking around, kind of waiting to get sick. And they already are sick in many cases.
Literally, already. Yeah.
That's right.
Jeff, I agree with you totally. There's the extreme sort of let's make fun of these people. They're called Walmartians. And there's whole websites that actually photograph and I've looked at them as well, too. But, they're usually extraordinarily obese. But they eat what they eat, and they don't get it. And they've been sucked into the allopathic system of doing things.
If I get sick, the doctor will heal me. Heal me, doctor.
Yes.
The whole thing is designed and implemented so the responsibility is taken away from the individual and put into the establishment. And how do they get help? They have to pay for it. So it's ridiculous. I don't go to doctors. I heal myself if I get sick. Now, if I break a leg, that's right. something else. But
right.
in general, people are not taught to do that. They're taught to rely. They're taught to be dependent. They're not taught to be creative with what they do. You are what you eat. You are what you think. And I mean the second one especially. You are what you think. Attitude is I really believe it's about 90% of everything.
Yeah. Well, I think I told this one of the times that I was on the show with you. But, yeah, the brain is amazing. They're back to our age, Jeff, but George Burns was a comedian, and so was Bob Hope. Most people know who Bob Hope is. They would recognize him. He did the USO tours during the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
But they both were comedians, and they both went on this sort of tit-for-tat in a joking manner that they'd lived to be 100. And they started this, you know, when they were in their 60s and 50s. And it's just amazing to cut to the chase. It is absolutely amazing. George Burns was born in January of 1896. He died exactly at the age of 100 and just short of a couple months.
Yeah.
And Bob Hope was born in 1903, and he died exactly at the age of 100 and just short of a couple months. The whole thing, all you have to just grasp a hold of is they said it. I'm going to live to be 100. I'm going to live to be 100. They talked about it, and they didn't die when they were 77, which is the average life expectancy of a male in the United States, or 83, or 91, or 97, 98, 99, or 101, or 102. It's like running the race. As soon as your chest crosses that red tape,
yeah.
You stop running. I mean, you kind of slow down and go, I did it. You know, I've done the race.
Yeah, they programmed themselves.
They both did it. They both did it.
Yeah.
And they spoke it thousands of times because it was sort of a joke going back back and forth between them. But they made it to 100. Very few people in the world make it to 100, less than one of 1,000. But they did it. And George Burns smoked cigars his whole life and other things.
They weren't vegetarians. They weren't vegans.
No.
They just ate normal food.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, the mind is a very, very powerful thing. I mean, I've been dealing with people with incurable diseases for a very long time, and the people that say, I'll do it, I want to live, I will do this, I will do what you ask me to do,
happens?
I will do your protocol, they live. The people that call me up and say, even if they've had five relatives, you know, we're supposed to die and given days left to live, they're crying and they're going, nothing works for me. I know I'm going to die. I know this isn't going to work, but my relatives have you know, say, I've got to do this thing because you know how to deal with this issue. And I've learned over all these decades that person's already in the grave. I can't help them. They are already saying they're dead. It's really sad. It's really sad.
It's very sad. They program themselves.
The mind is very powerful. But that's why we have Jeff Rentz. That's why we have Blake Sawyer. To educate people, to give people the truth, to give people hope, to provide them solutions that they might be able to wrap their brain around the truth and the solutions that we can rise above these things, because it is a matter of life and death. Right now, it is a matter of life and death. The United States, or the USS Titanic, in my analogy, has hit the iceberg.
Yeah.
Everybody, the conversation's changed. We've got to look at this as we really have to change what we're doing, how we're thinking.
Well,
those
that will make the changes will survive, likely. Those that won't will be gone. That's very simple. Now we have, in addition to all the other chemicals that Blake mentioned, we have radiation. It's beginning to creep inexorably, more dramatically, into our food and water supply, the flora and fauna of our beautiful, once beautiful country, North America. The entire Northern Hemisphere is being inestimably polluted by this horror called Fukushima, 24 hours a day, 25 hours a day. And as you know, folks, you've seen the video of Dana and Terry, 200 kilometers of the British Columbia coast. They're going out this next week for another longer trip with much better cameras, and they're going to go and take a look, and they're going to find out what... I had an email today from a fellow who's a certified scuba diver who went diving off the coast of Oregon, and he is a master diver for decades, and he said he's already seeing it dramatically along Oregon. There's still life, he said, but it's absolutely changing. And I have another guy I talked to. He lives in Puget Sound, Anna Bay. And the tide goes in, the tide goes out. It's not far from the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And at low tide, he loves to go for walks and look in the tide pools. He didn't know about this expedition that Dana and Terry took and found out that 200 kilometers of the British Columbia seashore are utterly devoid of sea life. He said, you know, I went out and there's nothing left in the tide pools. They're empty of life. What? And I told him, and he said, oh my God, it's already down that far and it's moving down the coast. The coastal current is carrying it right on down all the way to the tip of Baja California, and then it'll head west and head across the Pacific Ocean to get recharged and come back again to the east through the North Pacific Current, where it'll come in right below the state of Washington, and that's right about it at Oregon, Washington. You look at any ocean current map and you'll see it. And we're getting this 24 hours a day. And the government won't talk.
Yes, I watched Dana Dunford and Terry Daniels video. Yeah. It's disheartening. What people have to understand is that sea life produces not only fish and things that are part of the planet, it's the ecosystem. It's really a major part of it. It actually absorbs a lot of the carbon dioxide. Our oceans are becoming extraordinarily toxic. And if you have all this dead, decaying sea life, and I think you published quite a few of the put up quite a few of the articles about the starfish melting. I mean, they really just do melt. They've showed pictures of it, and millions and millions of them have died. And the Pacific is besides the garbage patch. Now we have the death of sea life, including kelp and other things. We're in a heap of
5,600 different species of sea life, and Dana and Terry, I think they figured they saw no more than 10 different species. That was it. So it's happening. It's here, as we've been predicting. You folks can do things to help yourselves and fight this off and survive it. Fortunately, we're not living in Japan. Those people there don't have much of a chance. But we are in a position to do something here, if people simply have the will to do it. And that's what we're here to try to help you. All right, we'll be right back with Blake in just a minute. Hold on. Okay, let's get right back with Blake Sawyer, RoyalVelvetNow.com. You know, there are a lot of Americans thinking about getting out of here. Time to leave. Time to get out. There are places to go that are a heck of a lot better than these formerly United States in virtually all measurements, from medical to political to entertainment to the geography to the land itself, the people, the energy of life, as it were. And I don't know if you want to talk much about this or not, but you have experience with traveling and understanding. People here don't know how easy it is to move from country to country. In general terms, it does depend upon the country and how it's set up and what their laws and regulations are. But it can be done without a whole lot of trouble. Can you talk to us about this a little bit? Because I do get email about, well, where do we go? If we're going to leave, where do we go? Personally, I say stay here, try and make this place recover somehow, but take care of yourself first and foremost. It is difficult to move, but if you're footloose and fancy free, there are some great places to go.
Well, Jeff, I would say that in this day and age, it's not, well, it's relative. It's easier to leave the United States than some people imagine, but it's harder than other people. You have to understand that the process. It's like if somebody came knocking on your front door and there was a U-Haul in front and they say, I'm moving in, you'd say, you'd probably say, who the hell are you? You'd say, what's going on here? You know, it would be one of those situations. You just can't just leave the United States and go into another country. So there's a process.
Always.
But I've been researching this for 40 years. And the reason I've been doing this is because 40 years ago, I had my epiphany, my big, huge epiphany. I became what I call a truth seeker. And it's progressed. I learned every single day. I am a researcher. I'm a statistician. I am a trends researcher. I love to predict the future from a perspective of stats and data, not, you know, I'm getting a feed from God or the universal mind or something like that. But it's like I guess the way that I look at it, the way that I've always described it, when people say, how did you know this was going to happen or that was going to happen? Well, trends researchers look at stats and information. I say it's no different than a meteorologist. You know, there's the high pressure, there's low pressure, there's this frontal boundary coming in, and it might be perfect weather right now,
mm-hmm.
but in 3 days we're going to have an outbreak of potential tornadoes and hail and damaging winds, etc. That sort of thing is predicting the future, and we all predict the future. Every decision we make is based upon, well, I'm going to get up and go to work this morning, because if I don't, well, I'll get fired. You know, that's predicting the future. But I do it in a way based on way into the future, and it's based upon what's going on in the world. And it's like doing a jigsaw puzzle, putting all the pieces to it.
Have you ever
together.
Heard well, more stuff going on in the world and had to deal with more noise in your factoring and your research and your data trend gathering? This is really...
No, I mean, this is the apex. This is what I've been looking for 40 years, of these events happening. There is an agenda to use the United States in a certain way, suck it dry, and destroy it and destroy the people. The greatest reason is because the global agenda needs to have a global government. They want a global authority. On my radio show, I've quoted 100 of the world's most famous, top powerful people, how they all say we need to reduce the world's population by 90%.
Yep.
You know, Prince Philip said, if I'm reincarnated, I want to be returned to Earth as a killer virus to lower the human population.
Isn't that amazing? That statement.
We need to eliminate 350,000 people a day. He said, quote, yeah. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's just as bad not to say it. Ted Turner, he says, we only can have 250 million people. Everybody else is apt to die. Well, there's 7.1 billion people on the planet. So there isn't this agenda, and I've studied it, and they have a plan, and it's very detailed. It's amazing how detailed it is, and they're carrying it out. But they have to destroy the United States in the process. So it's like they dumb the people down, they get them to where they're dependent upon the government, they get them against each other. And against each other is not just left, right, conservative, you know, liberal, black, white, rich, poor, the 1%, the 99%, it's everybody. People have jobs that don't have jobs. People who pay taxes and don't pay taxes. Okay, and there the media is controlled of this. Of course, we understand who runs the media, and we understand the war machine and war and death. That they have all this going on. Okay, so what I understood and knew, I was born in the United States. I'm a U.S. citizen. My wife is too, but she's got an Irish passport because her grandmother was born in Ireland. So she's a dual citizen, but I started looking at all the potential things that were going to happen, what they said they were going to do to the world and the country specifically, and I developed a system where I have 100 survival categories of every single thing possibly you can imagine. It's really a fascinating thing, and I ran every country in the world, 200 countries in the world, through this system that I developed, and there are some countries that are going to survive everything. World War, Fukushima, just name everything. Starvation and economic collapse, ruthless government, think, you know, Mao and all that he did, the gulags and Stalin, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, all those ruthless governments, democide, which has killed hundreds of millions of people, ruthless governments. So every possible scenario, and I developed a system. And there are several countries in the world that you can get to that right now have freedom. I mean, you know, we talk about America being the land of the free. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we're talking freedoms beyond anybody's wildest imagination. A quality of life that you couldn't possibly comprehend anywhere, does not exist anywhere in the United States. Just everything about it. People that I've helped expatriate out of the United States and get to these, what I call safe havens, they lose weight, they get rid of their diabetes, they get rid of depression, they just start living the culture, the lifestyle, the pulse of life. And of course they stay in touch with me, they email me, we communicate back and forth, and it is the most revolutionary thing they've ever done. And then they're now alive. And they're really alive and they're producing, they're productive, their lives are just dramatically changed. And in the future, they're going to survive. And whereas I really do believe, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, because the Coriolis effect, that most people in the Northern Hemisphere are going to suffer greatly.
They are, and it's not going to get any easier. I'm really concerned about this country in the next year or two. I think that on the shelf right now are any number of bioweapons which can create, and they're designer, they can create any kind of a response, fatal, semi-fatal, however they want to do it, within the populace at any time they'd like. Believe me, panic could break out here to the extent that people would be lining up and begging the government to take what's left of their liberty to protect them, to guarantee that they would be able to live, continue to live, and eat, and have a shelter. That's what it really boils down to. That's where this populace has been taken, right to the edge of that potentiality. And it's here, and it's waiting. When it'll arrive, I can't tell you. But, all right, hold on. I hear music. That means we have to pause just for a couple, and we'll come right back. Okay, and welcome back. I'm talking to Blake Sawyer about this world and the country in which we live. What does your trend data gathering tell us about the next year or two? What are you looking for?
That's probably one of the number one questions that I get from people, and that is they want to peer into the future and see where we're at. My belief system, Jeff, honestly, it's just the way it is. I believe we're way beyond. I think if we were able to really take 10 steps back and view what's going on in the United States, it's lost. So I'm out of here. I expatriated out of the United States 18 years ago. I still have a home here, and I still have businesses here, but I'm kind of closing shop, so to speak. I'm getting ready to completely, entirely leave the country. But that's because I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I just really do see the handwriting on the wall. But tomorrow, an event can happen would change everything. I mean, there are so many events. I mean, you know, Gerald Celente, any of them are going to tell you the exact same thing. It could be a stock market crash. I think we're going to have an economic downturn simply because we're trillions of dollars in debt. The debt-to-GDP ratio is insane. It can't be sustainable.
Well, they're also trying to wring out the last of the economic vitality of the middle class, so that's a tool that they'll use
right.
for that.
The super rich have become richer, and the middle class have become poorer, and the poor are just, you know, they're going to be starving in the streets, I really do believe, soon. But I think that there's a lot of scenarios. The problem is that World War III would be the worst thing, and I think it's a few years away. But Russia and the United States are the two foundations of what World War III will be. And there were three wars, I really do believe. All three world wars were planned and plotted, and the first two were exactly how the Illuminati globalists, said that they're going to put them together. And right now, every country is lining up on either side of the United States or Russia.
Yeah.
What is sad is I'm not in the left-right paradigm, but I see the whole Ukrainian thing as bogus. Russia's not totally innocent, but the United States throws out lies and disinformation. And
well, we're serving the we're serving the illegal regime we installed in there, for God's sake.
Right. Yeah, and they actually were financed by the United States and parts of Europe, and we overthrew elected government, which the United States is notorious for. We paid for and sent in the snipers. We caused all this mess, and we're hypocritical as a country. When we broke away from Britain, it was all okay, and we have other countries that we would support in that situation. But when the Eastern Ukrainians that persecute people that are pro-Russian or speak Russian, and the Russians want freedom, you know, or the Ukrainians that speak Russian, they want freedom. So I don't think Russia has really done much evil in all this. I think the evil is very lopsided in this situation. They're not totally innocent, but it's very lopsided, especially in the disinformation campaign.
I agree.
But that concerns me, that there's this jogging for position. And the current person in the White House, and I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I'm just a truth seeker. I really stay away from politics a lot because I think almost all politicians are evil in many ways. But the current person that we have in the White House may or may not be someone that would precipitate this thing to happen. He's spoken about not being
he's a puppet. He's a script
but he's
reader.
He's a puppet of as would a Republican would be as well too.
Absolutely, it's all American politics is finished. It's just a sideshow.
So,
it's a soap opera.
That concerns me. Also, there's about 7 scenarios that could crash the electrical grid. One of the things that I've studied a lot is this electrical grid system. And the United States, of course, has studied it as well, too. The government has. They said if the electricity goes down, and I'll give you some of these scenarios real quick, 50 to 90% of the American population would be dead within 12 months. Most people have no idea if there was no electricity in the United States, how that would set us back 200 years, 300 years, maybe cavemen set us back. But there's a lot of scenarios. An electromagnetic frequency or an EMP pulse, crazy North Korea said that they would threaten us with one, but blown up 100 miles above Nebraska would fry the electrical system.
Yeah, it won't
happen. A coronal mass ejection.
It won't happen, but that's a very important
point. That won't
point.
Happen. But the ones that very well could are coronal mass ejection from the sun. The
CMEs.
Sun has gone through craziness. We have
We're overdue.
Yeah, we have a protection of the planet. Yeah, it's called
true.
the magnetic system grid, and it's weakened by 15-20%. There is no scientist that says it hasn't. It's really concerned the scientific world. And this is what protects these coronal mass ejections, these solar flares, if you will, from the sun that head toward Earth to protect life and humans and our electrical system. If we got a direct hit and the northern hemisphere and North America was facing this direct hit, it would fry the electrical grid. And you think, okay, within a few days, a few weeks, we get electricity back. No, it
Wrong.
Would take 2 to 3 years.
Correct.
2 to 3 years.
That's
because
right.
of the way that the electrical system in the United States is set up in these power stations. Now, that could also take place. It could be a 16-year-old kid in the basement of name any country in the world that is wanting to destroy the United States, and trust me, there's a lot of people in the world that hate the U.S., and they could hack into certain electrical grid system controls and start.
The Chinese have already been there. They left
a calling
card.
Right, well, Israel and the United States has had cyber warfare with Iran. They've put in bugs and things into the nuclear system within Iran.
Yeah, sucks,
we could go on all this. There's a whole books that have been written on this subject. So that's another potential scenario is a cyber attack. And these, they're very, very real. People don't understand if you don't have electricity, there's no trucking. The grocery stores are empty within hours. You can't use your credit card. The cash register are all closed. There's no freight moved anywhere because it's all done done with computers, electronically.
Trucks.
And it would be chaos. You think Ferguson, Missouri is bad. It would be that times 1,000, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It would be some of these apocalyptic zombie-type movies. I kid you not.
You're right.
And
right.
It would be insane. I do believe another scenario could be the Ebola or some situation like that. I tell my clients because I have a website and I have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of clients that are in the expatriation process and then looking at the information that I provide. It's really my life's work of 40 years, and they want to know sort of things just like what your question is, and I tell them that if the Ebola thing starts getting going, no country is going to allow any American, if there's an Ebola epidemic in the United States, they're not going to let them into any other country. The doors will be shut, and people will be locked
in. Well, as we speak,
there will be no escape route.
No, we are still allowing flights, commercial airliners, to fly into the U.S. directly from these 4 West African Ebola-ridden countries. Right now, we haven't even stopped the flights coming in. This government is beyond derelict in its duties and obligations to protect the people.
Right. But there's dozens of countries that have stopped any flights going into their countries. Just like
not
almost
us.
All of Europe has banned fluoridated water. They've banned hundreds of chemicals that we allow in our foods and our soft drinks.
And they
drinks.
Tried to do it with GMOs and were pushed back, but they gave it a shot.
Yeah. So the United States government is not going to protect
I believe they're trying to seed. I believe they hope Ebola does break out here. They love to run simulations in their supercomputers. They love to watch the fear factor take hold of the populace. They know exactly what will happen, plus or minus 1 or 2%. They know it. They run. There's a virtual Earth in cyberspace. They have supercomputers strung together, and I was told on more than one occasion that they literally have a cyber Earth which is constantly programmed with everything that we know happening here, so it is a perfect duplicate, and they can introduce any new quantum or any other kind of configuration of data into it and find out what'll happen. That's how it's science. It's not guessing.
Should your listenership, the people that are listening today, that fate would have it, they would be listening to this show today, would want to have access to this voluminous amount of work that I've done, my website for that business is EscapeTheUSANow.com. EscapeTheUSANow.com. I'm about ready to launch an insider information for people that are really serious about
that's,
this.
That's the actual URL?
Yes.
That's the domain.
www.escapetheusanow.com. And I think that you can click on a lot of information there. It's free. But I do have a web service to give you all the information. It's like about 2 books worth of information. But there's thousands of links, immigration information, which are the safest countries in the world to live in for whatever reason. And you have a lot of choices as well, too. I give you, we talk about disease, the countries that are disease-free, the countries that you can live very well on because of the economic situation. There are countries that are pretty nice, but you'd have to be a multimillionaire several times over to be able to get into them and live comfortably. So I've done all the work. I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably over $1 million doing this research, and I've spent probably hundreds of thousands, almost 1 million miles of travel, going to all these countries, investigating, researching. Wow. And I do spend 6-7 hours a day researching this information to keep up with my clientele and keeping them abreast of what's going on in the world.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And I do use rents.com as a good resource, especially with the things that you really are really good on, like Fukushima.
Thank you. That's what we're here for. It's almost 20 years now this site has been up and running. And if you folks think about it, this program and the website are yours for free. We only ask that you support our sponsors. There's no mandatory need. We just request that you try and help those who are trying to help us by helping themselves. It all works in a circle. So remember, this program is yours for free. If you want to join the archives, $5 a month as a subscriber, 22 years of archived programs, many of them with brilliant people, extraordinary people. That's one way you can help us. And so remember, royalvelvetnow.com is the website. Blake Sawyer is the guest. Thank you, Blake. Good to talk to you again.
Jeff, you have a good one.
All righty. Good night. Okay, and that's our program tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night to give you another free one, 3 hours for your edification. Hopefully, we'll teach and we'll all learn together. Okay, back tomorrow night. Have a good night. Have a really good day tomorrow, and we will talk soon.